The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Think how Joseph must have felt when he first realized that Mary was expecting a baby. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her that she would be blessed to be the mother of the Lord, she did not tell Joseph, but arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to share this wonderful news with Elizabeth, her cousin. Elizabeth was the one person in the world she could share such astonishing news with, since she was to be the mother of John the Baptist, who would prepare the Lord's way. Elizabeth knew that the birth of the Lord himself was imminent, and she must have been wondering who would be so highly favored as to be his mother. So when Mary's greeting sounded in her ears as she entered Elizabeth's house, the babe, John, leaped in her womb for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She knew Mary's news even before Mary had a chance to tell her. Anyone else, probably including Joseph, Mary's fiancé, could not have believed her. So Mary went straight to Elizabeth and remained with her about 3 months, almost to the time when John was born. Perhaps by the time she came home to Nazareth, it was evident that she was expecting. In those days, the custom was for a couple to be betrothed or engaged for about a year before they were married. The commitment of betrothal was taken very seriously. Violating it was regarded as committing adultery. To Joseph, it probably seemed completely out of character that Mary should have been unfaithful. But what else could he think? He must have been very sad for Mary as well as for their intended marriage. We can imagine him puzzling and puzzling over what could have happened to her that she would do such a thing. He had the right, under existing custom and law, to have taken her into the public square before the elders, proclaimed her unfaithfulness, and have her stoned to death as a public example. But being a just man, he did not want to do this terrible thing. The only other course seemed to be to divorce her privately. But while he was thinking about these things, no doubt very soon after he realized that his bride was expecting, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream by night, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How did Joseph feel then? It's beyond comprehension, but surely awe and wonder, gratitude that he and his wife should have parts to play in this most wonderful of all events, humility and obedience before God, and also great relief for Mary that she was still the innocent person he believed her to be and whom he loved. So being aroused from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He made arrangements for the marriage to proceed at once so that he could take his wife home, where he could take care of her and protect her good name and the good name of the child who was to be born. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In this story, we see a high respect and reverence for marriage and virginity. There is an image of marriage apparently defiled, and then the hope of true marriage restored. The Lord came into the world to restore the hope of love truly conjugal. This love is at the center of our salvation, our eternal life and happiness. In marriage, the greatest uses can be served in preparing children for heaven, and so there is also the greatest potential for happiness. This love, its uses, and its delights from first to last are what the Lord wants for each of us. We see in this story how precious and beautiful thing a virginity is in preparation for marriage. Without it, the Lord could not have been born. Why was it necessary for the Lord to be born of a virgin? Because the Father's soul and image is in His seed. In a working marriage, the Lord provides that the husband's seed is received by the wife and adds itself to her life. In this way, a wife leads a life that is more and more of one mind with her husband. The union of souls and the joining of minds comes right down into ultimate effects. If Joseph or any other man had been Jesus' father, Jesus could only have been an ordinary man like his father. His soul would then have been a finite receptacle of life, like all of ours, instead of the divine life itself. The Lord put on an ordinary, mortal, human body from Mary, the mother, but His soul was divine, the everlasting Father. For a woman to give up her virginity is the deepest sign of love and commitment. The cleanness, purity, and holiness of conjugal love makes one with her virginity. With it, she promises to love her man to eternity. So she cannot rationally make this promise except in the security of a holy marriage covenant. And no man should ask her to give him this crown of her honor unless he is her husband, praying to the Lord to draw them together forever. We know that too often people do not wait for marriage, if a couple lived together before marriage, but always with the constant intention to be married as soon as they can, it is not so unfortunate. The order is backwards, putting the physical first and the spiritual afterwards, but the Lord can help them invert their priorities if they look to Him together. By contrast, simply to take a girl's virginity and then later discard her is to treat her like a harlot. And to cheat the man who will be her husband, if she ever marries, both of which do serious harm to another human being. True love comes only from the Lord. So if people are in love and have seriously asked the Lord for His guidance, they should be betrothed first and take time to get to know each other deeply, asking the Lord to join their hearts and minds. Then they should be married and finally confirm their love physically. Consider that Joseph was willing to refrain from knowing his wife physically even after they were married and he had brought her home until she had brought forth her firstborn son according to the Lord's command. We too can be obedient to the Lord's command to allow a spiritual marriage to be born in us. We have many more opportunities to let the things of heaven and of the Lord rule the things of earth with us. In our daily work, we can dedicate ourselves to acting justly and faithfully, to serve our neighbors and to serve the Lord, rather than living for the weekends or just to buy nicer stuff. In raising our children, we can aim to prepare them for eternal life as our highest priority, rather than success in the world. In our friendships, we can aim to love and draw out the good in our neighbor, rather than merely enjoying the pleasures of friendship. In fact, in all things of life, we have the chance to cultivate spiritual virginity, the innocence of being the servant of the Lord, the affection of truth for its own sake, rather than for personal advantage, and fleeing from evils as sins, lest they pollute the uses of our lives. The Lord came into the world to save his people from their sins. He knows how weak human nature is today. He put on our weak human nature from the mother, an ordinary woman. By the power of the divine love within, he subdued all the hells. He is here with us, Emmanuel, to give us strength to do what is right too. And when we fall down or fall short, he is here to help us repent and turn back to him. Second virginity is possible. It is an attitude that says, I have sinned against the Lord and the order of heaven, but now, by the Lord's help, I will start over and approach marriage according to his divine order. Or, we rushed things in our relationship, but now we are married, and we promise to be faithful to each other forever, and to put the Lord and the things of heaven first in our lives. The Lord did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came to lift us up out of selfish ways of dealing with other people and from merely physical cravings or a love of manipulating others into the true, lasting joy of heaven, which is love truly conjugal. He came to be the bridegroom and husband of the church so that we can be good husbands and wives to each other, together forming his church, his bride and wife. If we are not yet married, let us allow the Lord to save us for true marriage and its happiness. Whether we are married or not, let us continue to pray and work for the spiritually virgin state of innocence, cleanness, and purity in our approach to our married partner and to all the uses of our life. Then the Lord will be able to fulfill his prophecy in our lives. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen.